Welcome back. And if you've just joined us, we've been talking about heart health, how to keep it and how to improve it. My name's Dave, and with me is Dr. Corey Lapp, naturopathic doctor. Before the break, we discussed the effects of hypertension on heart health. And doctor, what's our next risk factor?
Yeah, so I think it's really important that we talk about diabetes. So in Chatham-Kent specifically, the rate of diabetes-related hospitalizations is much higher than the provincial average. So when we look at the evidence, it does show that there's a strong correlation between diabetes and cardiovascular disease. In fact, the number one cause of death and disability among those with type 2 diabetes is cardiovascular disease. So when we look at diabetes, there's two different types, type 1 and type 2. Type 2 diabetes is now the most prevalent form. We used to be able to call it adult onset diabetes. However, unfortunately, we're seeing it occur more and more in teenagers and even young children.
And how does that work, doctor?
Yeah, so diabetes is actually caused by a combination of a few things. So first off is insulin resistance. So that develops as our cells lose the ability to allow insulin to do its job of moving blood sugar into the cells. When that happens, the pancreas needs to secrete more and more insulin in order to keep up. Pancreas becomes overworked, and that's when we see type 2 diabetes occurring.
And we know that there are a number of contributing factors to diabetes. Family history of diabetes, inactivity, obesity and overweight, and diet. All of these lead to a higher risk. Now, regarding inactivity, the Heart and Stroke Foundation recommends that if we have 150 minutes of exercise per week, that we can reduce our risk.
Yeah, exercise is one of those really important ones. And we need to go back to the diet again as well, just like we talked about with hypertension. So one of the important aspects when it comes to the diet to consider is fiber. So the average person should eat between 20 to 35 grams of fiber a day. And what we're seeing is that most of us aren't getting nearly half of that. So there was actually a study done in the New England Journal of Medicine that showed that those with diabetes who ate 50 grams of fiber per day, particularly looking at soluble fiber, were better able to control their blood sugar levels than those who ate far less. So soluble fiber is found in some vegetables and fruit and is really high in oat products and legumes as well.
And in addition to fiber, there's also some supplements that we can take in to help the type 2 diabetes. And one of those is alpha-lipoic acid. ALAs helps to convert blood sugar into energy working throughout the entire body. It's an antioxidant found in every cell. It attacks the free radicals, thereby preventing damage to organs and tissues. Therapeutic dose of ALA would be 300 to 600 milligrams a day.
Yeah, so there's a few different benefits when it comes to using alpha-lipoic acid in diabetes. So it can help to not only improve blood sugar control, but it can also have positive effects on complications of diabetes. So things like diabetic neuropathies that can develop as a result of having high blood sugar levels for too long. So this nerve damage that happens with diabetes is most common in the feet and legs, but unfortunately, it can also occur in the nerves of the heart. Okay, so in addition to alpha-lipoic acid, there's another supplement that is shown to be helpful in diabetes as well, and that's acetyl-L-carnitine. So acetyl-L-carnitine is the biologically active form of an amino acid. So basically, it's a building block of protein, of proteins in the body. It's an antioxidant as well, and it helps the body to turn fat into energy. So where we see the beneficial effects in diabetes is that it can help to reduce the pain associated with the neuropathies. It can help to regenerate these damaged nerves. studies are showing that a therapeutic dose of 1,500 milligrams per day can be beneficial. In addition, there was a study conducted by the University of Maryland that showed there to be benefits with acetyl L-carnitine and stable angina, heart attacks, and heart failure.
The next risk factor that we're going to discuss today is cholesterol. It's estimated that 40% of Canadians have high cholesterol, and we hear a lot about the negative effects of cholesterol, but there are some benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, cholesterol is one of those essential nutrients. We make it in the body. It's present in our skin and helps us to produce vitamin D when we're exposed to sunlight and ultraviolet light. It helps in producing hormones in the body and helps to produce bile as well, which is needed to digest fats.
So cholesterol becomes a problem when the bad cholesterol is out of balance with our good cholesterol. And then there is also the presence of triglycerides. So how does this contribute to heart disease?
Yeah, so like you said, it's when these cholesterols get out of balance is when we see the problems. So LDL, which is often considered the bad cholesterol, can leave deposits on the arterial walls. So this causes a buildup of plaque and calcium, which, like I mentioned earlier, can lessen the elasticity of the arteries, which can promote hypertension, cause damage to the arteries, even progressing cardiovascular disease in general. When we look at triglycerides, it's an important type of fat that's floating around in our blood, but when they get in excess, whether through alcohol intake, poor diet, they can cause a problem as well.
So there's some warning signs for high cholesterol. Typically, men over 40 should consider the risk, women over 50 or postmenopausal. A waist measurement is a measuring stick. Men have a waist of in excess of 40 inches, or a woman having a waist measurement of 35 inches. If there's a family history of cholesterol, if there's inactivity in your life, if there's poor eating habits, all these lead to higher risk of cholesterol.
Yeah, so when we know that we are having some of these warning signs or some of these risk factors, we need to, again, take a look at our diet. It's always going to go back to our diet. Fiber, like we talked about with diabetes, can be specifically useful for having cholesterol issues. So fiber actually attaches to the cholesterol in the small intestine and prevents it from entering the bloodstream. It helps to push it out through our diet. So it's important to, again, make sure you're having enough fiber in the diet.
Fish oils are a great supplement. They've been proven to be effective in reducing cholesterol. But it's not possible for most of us to consume enough cold water fish to obtain our daily requirements, so supplementation is necessary.
Yeah, sometimes it is important to supplement with fish oil. So we hear a lot about fish oil in the news. It's anti-inflammatory. It can be helpful for a number of different things, specifically for cardiovascular disease and hypercholesterolemia. It helps to raise the levels of good cholesterol and in turn helps to lower the levels of bad cholesterol as well. Another one to consider is niacin. So niacin is a helpful supplement when it comes to cholesterol as well. Niacin is a B vitamin, and higher doses of this B vitamin has been used as a treatment, again, to raise that good HDL cholesterol. However, there are different forms of niacin that you want to be using at pretty high doses. It's probably best to work with your healthcare professional to making sure that you're getting the right amount.
And one last thought, final thought on cholesterol. If you've been prescribed a statin drug, the statin is used to lower LDLs, but they also interfere with the liver's ability to produce CoQ10 that's necessary for cellular energy. Talk to your doctor, and he may suggest supplementing a CoQ10 along with your statin. So just a final summary on cholesterol then. By adding fiber, fish oils, niacin, our cholesterol levels can improve. So that's a lot of good information. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll discuss aging as a risk factor. And though aging is uncontrollable, there are some definite actions we can take to maintain dynamic heart health.